In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Christ is in our midst. Behold, the whole city came out to meet him, to meet Jesus. And when they saw him, they begged him to depart from their coast. So he got into his own boat and crossed over and came to his own city. Unfortunately, this is the reaction that often happened to Christ throughout his ministry. And we might just ask ourselves, why? Why is it that people reacted to him in this way? I think the following story might help us to understand why. I once knew a man in one of my parishes who had converted to the Orthodox faith from a various Protestant denomination. He was very serious about Christianity. He was excited about Orthodoxy when he first came in, and he wanted to follow Christ in a new way. But this man also had many problems. He had a lot of problems. First of which, the most prevalent, was that he was an alcoholic. And like all alcoholics and all addicts, he was captive to his passions. And he often justified his own sins in one way or another, or he found a way to blame others, which is often the way it is with addicts and alcoholics. As time went by, he began to come to church, to the Orthodox Church, less and less, and he eventually left the church, and he went back to the faith that he had grown up in. But he was still in the throes of his addiction. He was still very much in the throes of his passion, and eventually, he lost almost everything. He got divorced, he was hospitalized, he was suicidal. His world came crumbling down all around him. He was almost destroyed. But by the grace of God, he was restored to the church, and he is now sober. And he told me that the reason that he left the church to begin with is because every time he entered through the doors of the church, as he saw the iconostasis before him, he was convicted. He was confronted with his own sinfulness, and he wanted to run away. He wanted to flee. He said even if it was an empty church, every time he came in, he wanted to flee because he was confronted with his passions, with his own demons, and he was forced to face the fact that he actually, to the core of his being, preferred evil to Christ. He preferred his sins to the love of Christ, and so he literally was forced to flee the church. And he said there were times that he walked into the church, saw the iconostasis, and literally turned around and ran back out. But when he went back to his former faith, he didn't feel that. He didn't feel that conviction. He was able to sit. He was able to participate. He was able to feel comfortable. He felt right at home. And they seemed to almost justify the passions that he was not dealing with as something just normal, that he was okay, when he was actually, like the men in the gospel today, dwelling in the tombs with the demons. And as long as he stayed away from the Orthodox Church, he told me, he didn't have to face that. He didn't have to face the fact that he had totally given himself over to his passions and to his sins, and eventually to the evil one, who is, as we are told, the father of all passions. Archbishop Andre of New York was a bishop who died in, I think, 1978 in the Russian church abroad. He was a friend of St. John of San Francisco, and he was actually one of the last disciples of the last of the Optina elders in Russia. One of them had actually died under his epitrachelion as he was saying the prayers. I believe it was Elder Nectari. And Archbishop Andre, in his sermons, in his book of sermons, said for the gospel today that the most fearful words in all the gospel were the ones I quoted at the beginning of this sermon. That when they came, the Gergesene people came out to see Christ, they saw him and they asked him to leave their village. After they came excitedly to see Christ, who had just freed one of their own brethren from the demonic possession that had overwhelmed them, they came out to see Christ in excitement. And once they saw him, they begged him to depart out of their coast. What is it that happened? What happened that changed their excitement to fear? What was it that caused them to have a reaction 180 degrees different from that which they originally had. Most probably, the fathers tell us, is because when they came face to face with Christ, the Christ who tells us that he is the way, the truth, and the life, they were forced to see themselves for the first time as they really were, and they didn't want to face up to their own sinfulness and to their own hypocrisy. Hypocrisy, you might ask, what was it? What was so hypocritical about them? First of all, these Gergesene people were Jews who had given themselves over to pagan things. They lived among the pagans, they married among the pagans, and they had even taken up raising swine, which to the Jewish people was both forbidden and unclean according to the Levitical law. By doing so, these people had cut themselves off from the religious life of their own nation. They would have been forbidden to enter the temple. They would have been forbidden to offer the required sacrifices. They had become ritually impure. They had excommunicated themselves, and they could not take part in the liturgical life of the people of God. It was their own choice to be excommunicated. And just as when we too also choose to sin and turn away from God, these people seem to be getting along just fine as long as they were able to forget about God. But when they were forced to directly confront God, something had to give. Either they had to put away their sins and their passions and accept him into their lives, or they could keep their sin, they could keep doing what they were doing, and send him away. The Gergesene people in today's gospel chose the latter. Why? Because choosing Christ for these people would very much have changed their status quo. St. Theophan de Reclus, a 19th century Russian bishop, said, "We do not see these people in the gospel today relating very hostily to Christ at all. But neither," he says, "do we observe any faith in them at all. Only an indeterminable fearfulness and a desire to have the Lord pass them by." St. Theophan says that these Gergesene people were like the people in the parable of the sower, who hear the word of God quickly, willingly, and receive it joyfully, but do not want to bear any labor in order to fulfill it. He says, therefore, they delight briefly in hearing the word of God and its promises until a sacrifice is required of them. And then they renounce the word in order to cater back to their own attachments. He says they want to be left alone and live quietly in their old habits, undisturbed, conscious, undisturbed in their conscience, rather than to be awakened to the sinfulness of their own lives. Choosing the status quo for the Gergesene people today literally meant giving up their livelihood. These people raised swine. Raising swine was the way they brought home the bacon, pun intended. Raising swine was the way they brought home the bacon, even though Jews were not supposed to bring home any bacon. Rather, though, than asking Christ to stay in their town, they chose to stay in their status quo, which in their spiritual life was akin to living with the demons. St. Peter Chrysologus points out that the demons, being servants of the author of death, have forced these two possessed men in today's gospel to live in the tombs. The demons, he says, feed on corpses. They are fattened by that which is putrid and decaying, and they are delighted by the stench of death. And when man, like the Gergesene people today, prefer the sin which leads to death rather than Christ, who is the author of life, they are spiritually at home in the tombs, in the filth that makes up the home for the swine. Matter of fact, the demons, when they asked Christ to send them into the swine, they were asking to go right back home, basically. They were right at home among the swine. And Peter Chrysologus says again, the ones who fall from heaven, the demons, they seek out filth. And after the heavenly abodes, they strive after the wallows of the swine. And we do the same thing, my brothers and sisters. When we choose sin over life in Christ, we are doing the same thing. We are saying that we prefer our own status quo, whatever that is, to the change of mind that it takes to follow Christ. We've all heard it over and over again. The Greek word for repentance, metanoia, means a change of mind. It doesn't mean asking for forgiveness or saying that I'm sorry. It means a change of mind. The status quo has to be achieved by changing, has to be altered by changing our mind. The very first words in the Gospel of St. John the Baptist is repent. Change your mind, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Those also were the very first words in the public ministry of Jesus. Repent. Change your mind, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. We have to change our minds to turn from sin and passions which keep us from embracing Christ. The Gergesene people in the gospel today love their sins more than they love Christ. And one will always choose that which you love. The alcoholic will always choose his drink because that's what he loves the most, regardless of what he may say to his wife or to his children at home. That's what he loves the most, so he will choose it. And it's the same way for all of us. St. Augustine says, it is not enough for us to confess Christ or even to know Christ. He says we must love Christ. If we have known Christ, he says, let us love. For knowledge without love does not save. Knowledge puffs up, he says. Love edifies. If we have a mind to confess Christ, but not to love Christ, then we begin to be like the demons, he said, in today's gospel. They confessed Christ as the Son of God, but then said, what have we to do with you? Depart from us. And they were repulsed. Confess and embrace, says St. Augustine. The demons feared Christ because they feared for their iniquities. You, St. Augustine says, love Christ because he has forgiven your iniquities. My brothers and sisters in Christ, do we love Christ enough to change and alter our own status quo, whatever it may be? Are we willing to change our own sinful habits so that our hearts might be cleansed? And so that we may, as the communion hymns say, become a temple for the body and blood of Christ? Or rather, are we too comfortable? Are we too comfortable in our own sins and our own passions to follow Christ and allow him under the roof of our souls? We will either allow the demons to come under the roof, or we will allow Christ. There's no other way. St. Peter Chrysologus says, either by our own vices, we bring it about that the demons receive power over us, or by our virtues, we join with Christ in triumph and make the demons subject to us and tread upon their necks. Let us, my brothers and sisters, not be like the Gergesene people who saw Christ today, who saw his power, who saw his love, and then asked him to depart from their own coast. He will not stay where he has no place to lay his head. We say that in one of the communion prayers of St. John Chrysostom. He will not stay where he is not wanted. He will never force his love upon us. Instead, my brothers and sisters, let us continue with the words of that communion prayer of St. John Chrysostom and call him to enter into the manger of our souls, no matter how dirty it is, no matter how humble it is, so that he may lay his head there and make it a temple for his body and blood, and make it his home. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Glory be to Jesus Christ. Amen.